You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 49. We have Mary as my guest on the show today. So shortly you'll be hearing Mary and I discussing her dream, interpreting it, and of course, most importantly of all, creating a dream alchemy practice that Mary can do to make significant changes in her life. But just before we go over to Mary, I'd like to tell you about another podcast that came out earlier this week. This is a 60-minute interview with me. And I know if you're used to listening to the podcast, you like listening to long podcasts. You're not a 2 or 3 minute podcast listener. But there's a little story behind this one. So I'll tell you about that, and then I'll tell you where you can go to access the podcast. Some of you may have read my third book, which was The Shape of Things to Come, which was published by Random House Australia back in 1998. Those of you that haven't read it may have noticed it on my website, because you can actually read it for free on my website, or you know, get the ebook version. There are various ways in which you may have come across that book, The Shape of Things to Come. Now, that book was about precognitive dreaming, and I did a lot of research for that book. And one of the things that I did along the way, apart from getting hypnotized into my own future, well, and that was very, very interesting. And you can read all that about that in the book. But one of the things that I decided to do as part of that book was interview 4 clairvoyants. 4 very different clairvoyants, and find out from them what kind of techniques they use to access and predict the future in their waking lives, because I wanted to compare it to what happens sometimes in our dreams when we sometimes get precognitive glimpses of the future in quite accurate detail in our dreams. So one of the clairvoyants that was recommended to me by quite a few people was a lady called Margaret Stewart. So Margaret Stewart's, you know, held in quite high esteem for her ability to be able to help people to see accurate details of their future, and more particularly than that, help them to clear aspects of their past which are blocking them from getting the future, which is kind of destined for them. At least that's where she was coming from. So I went off very happily, notepad and pencil in hand, and interviewed her for my book. Anyway, a few weeks ago, Margaret Stewart got in contact with me and said, I've now got a podcast show that's on www.mediaontap.com, which is based in Vancouver, Canada. And Margaret wanted to know if I'd be interested in being one of the guests on her show. So she interviewed me. It's a 60-minute interview. It covers a lot of ground. It's got a lot of laughs along the way. And we do also mention some of the stuff about the shape of things to come. So if you'd like to have a listen, the quickest way I can direct it to you, because I can't really send you long links over a podcast, the quickest way is to suggest that you go to my blog, which of course is www.janetheresa.com, and go to the March archive. So if you're listening to this podcast way in the future, you're looking for the March 2010 archives, and you'll see there that I've blogged a story about that interview, and of course given the link so you can directly pop your headphones on and have a listen. Moving on rapidly from Margaret to Mary, here we go. Have a listen to Mary and I discussing her dream. Hello Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jane Theresa, for taking my call and for hearing my dream.
Oh, it's a pleasure, as always. I love it when we have a guest on the show, even though I have no idea what's going to happen.
No.
So surprise me. What have you got?
Well, I've got a dream that's actually linked to a dream from a couple of years previously that I recognised the name. So I thought that this one might be interesting to get your insight on.
Okay.
So the dream is not terribly long. At the beginning of it, I hear the beginning of the song, I Dream a Dream. And I wake suddenly, but I'm actually not awake. And we, meaning the person I'm with, have to be somewhere. And the person is my son-in-law, and he's sitting beside me on my lounge. He has his arm around me, and it's dusk or dawn. He's in a summer check shirt. And I ask, with some urgency, what time is it? And he says it's 5:40. and I say, oh, it's 5:40. Now that scene is, and most of the dream is very, very clear and vivid. And as with a lot of dreams, when I feel almost lucid, though incredibly clear, but I don't remember. I only remember parts of them, and I know that's the same with most dreams.
Yes.
Anyway, I get up and I start preparing to be where I have to be. And as I said, it's quite totally clear and exactly like my house is. And then I'm with a man, and his name is Piers, as in P-I-E-R-S, and that's his name, is Piers. And I'm at some sort of performance, and I'm performing with a man, like song and dance stuff. And this man, Piers, and I are in love. He's come here and discovered me. And he has to return to wherever he's come from, but he'll be back. And I say, I didn't know I could do this before you, meaning him and I. And I say, our connection is... I mean, it is one of those dreams where the feeling is absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
And at the end, I'm passing through a door in a huge, elegant, beautiful hotel or resort with this man who I love. And in front of me, facing me, I see another couple arriving. They're dressed in white swimwear or summer clothing. A golden couple, really, a beautiful couple, bronzed from the sun and healthy. And they settle down in some seats on a balcony which allows some sun in through a stone archway. The man's attentive to the woman, and the whole thing overlooks an expanse of aqua water. And within that, there's a beautiful circular fountain and a cascade for falling and foaming of clear water with beyond the foam. And I pointed out to the man I'm with, saying, you know, how beautiful it is. And he turns and looks, and then he kisses me. And I think I like his kisses so much more than now, though, warm and passionate and loving. And it's such a loving dream, and I feel so complete and uplifted, and I wake feeling absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow. What time did you wake up at?
I don't know. In truth, I have no idea.
What a fantastic dream. And how long ago was this, Mary?
That was at the on the 17th of January.
This year.
A couple of months ago.
Yeah. And you don't know anyone by the name of Piers?
No, the only Piers I could link it to was a Piers Morgan. I mentioned the previous dream of a man whose name is Piers that I dreamt about a couple of years before. Would that be of interest or not?
Yes, we'll deal with this one, and then that may send you back to the other one, or we can look at that, you know, in reflection.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm... Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such an unusual name. So, you know, the first step is sometimes to say, well, yeah, does that remind you of someone in your life? And it may reflect back to there. But of course, you know, when you said peers, I'm thinking, well, it's like a peer going out into the ocean. And so yeah. That I was kind of waiting in the dream to see, well, I wonder if this is going to, whether a peer is going to come in handy, or apart from appearing. and at the end there, when you were, you know, on the kind of sun-drenched balcony looking out through the circular fountain towards the ocean, I was thinking, well, you know, you could go a little bit further. You could walk along a pier. So I was wondering whether Piers, being his name, may, and we'll sort of, as we explore the dream, we'll find out, may have something to do with just how far out into the water can you go, you know, because yes. There's a lot of emerging in this dream, which I really love.
Yes, as in Piers, P-I-E-R-S.
Yeah.
But I still see the link to the pier in the ocean.
Mm. Yes, yeah, the pier in the ocean, that's right. So, yeah, and like, you know, the middle and the end of the dream before the beginning has got all that beautiful, like, coming out, hasn't it? Like stepping out. At the beginning of the dream, there's a waking up, which is like coming out into consciousness from a dream. You know, even though you dream that you wake up, there's a coming out there.
Yes.
Then further in the dream, there's a coming out, as in coming out of the hotel, of the hotel.
Yes.
And then there's kind of looking into the distance over the ocean and over the fountain. So all that's kind of like coming out, expanding all the time. And the feelings in the dream kind of expand from the beginning too, kind of get bigger and bigger and more embracing, literally with the kiss. So there's a kind of feeling of everything, you know, coming out there, almost culminating in the golden couple there as well. So, you know, on the one sense, there's this lovely, you know, everything coming out. But to go back to the beginning of the dream to start, there's the feeling of, or, you know, you hear a dream. What's the name of the song again? To Dream a Dream?
I Dream a Dream.
I Dream a Dream. That's from the musical, what's the one with the mask?
Les Mis, isn't it?
Yes, Les Mis. Okay, yeah. That's good. Yeah. So it's kind of like almost in you know, on one level, maybe as you say, you were semi-lucid. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Am I dreaming? But there's a sense of you dream that you wake up. Now, yeah. When you dream that you wake up, it's often more that you are going through an awakening in your dream yes. state, so becoming yes. conscious, yeah,
yes.
of something. So, you know, we'll explore all that as to what was happening at the time in your life that your dream might suddenly you might suddenly be awakening to something. And in a sense, to, you know, to start with, I dream a dream, it's almost like saying, ah, you know, it's another level of moving through the illusions of life. Ah, so, you know, life is just a dream, really. It's how we look at it. It's like, you know, how I looked at yeah. life in the past was like a dream, and how I look at life today seems very real. But one day I'll look back and say, well, you know, I was looking through rosy spectacles or dark spectacles or whatever. You know, it's all an illusion. Yeah. It's all a dream. So there's some sense, you know, and you said it was in January, so it's the beginning of a new year and whatever that means to you. But there's some sense of a new level of awakening within you. A new level of stepping forward and a new level of removing veils from the eyes of saying, yeah, you know, no matter how compelling and worrying life can sometimes come, it's really, you know, a series of illusions. So this is when we then look at the, you know, you had the brother-in-law, did you say?
A son-in-law.
A son-in-law that put his arms around you in the dream. Now, if you could pick the three words, Mary, that you would use to describe that son-in-law's personality, what would they be?
Determined, focused, has a vision.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, because you're familiar, as a lot of our listeners are by now, with that three word approach. You know, what three words yep. would you describe a person? And then you're going to look for those issues within yourself. And I found, you know, after so many years, it's often the third one that people mention that is the most pertinent, because it's almost like we give the two that are at the top of mind awareness, and it's that third one that the dream is sometimes dealing with. You know, it just takes a little bit more just to pluck it out. And the reason I'm going for that, I'm going to do the other two as well, but the reason I'm going for that one, he has a vision, is because it followed from I Dream a Dream.
Obviously, of course. Mm. Yes. Yes. That's interesting, because when I looked at what he represented, it was his circumstances, which in some ways have been a mirror of mine. We may not have a lot in common, but of course suddenly it changes, doesn't it?
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, and that's like dropping of the veils and dropping of the illusions as well, isn't it? Someone that you think yeah. is in a completely different position to you.
That's right.
It suddenly all shifts. Like, oh, hang on a minute, that's me. How did I never see my circumstance that way? Yeah. So yeah. he's also determined, you know, so there's also, and focused, as you say. So, you know, the dream is also about dealing with your own determination at the time of the dream, your own, yes, because you were embraced by him, because he put his arm around you. It's about you getting closer, and more committed in a way to, towards your determination, towards your, becoming more and more focused, but essentially at the base of all that, it's the vision. It's holding yeah. the vision. I dream a dream. I've got okay. a vision. And in a sense, you know, there are a lot of visionaries out there that float from one vision to the next. So you've really got to have that determination and focus to manifest a vision, to change it from a castle in the air kind of vision to one that's built on solid ground.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, yeah, so I think that's kind of like, you know, the beginning of the dream. And then, of course, we have the magic of the numbers come up, you know, 20 to 6 and yeah. 540. So we, of course, play around with those numbers to begin with by taking away the zeros. So we start with 26 and 54. I know you've listened to a lot of the podcasts before and done a lot of work on your own dreams, Mary. So have you already looked at those figures, 26 and 54?
I mean, I have looked at them, and they haven't struck gold for me. So I don't know. I mean, I ended up going back to look at the time, thinking, well, maybe it's about months and the period of time I've been here and what that means to me. So I actually don't know, you know.
Yeah. So
exactly what they mean.
Okay. Well, you've got some leads with looking at the times, and as you say, 20 to 6 could be, say, like 20th of June. You say how long I've been here. Is it a place you've just moved to?
Well, I've been at that time, when it said it's 20 to 6.
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning of June, my lease is up on this place. So 20 to, and looking at the actual clock, 5:40, 20 to 6, means that I've only got depending on how you look at it, 2/3 of my time is gone. Oh, no, 1/3 is gone. I've got 2/3 left.
Yeah.
So, but I really couldn't place. I really couldn't place it.
Okay. I think you've got. It just dropped out to me as you were talking about it there. As things are always multi-leveled, and so what you say is absolutely correct. You know that the first thing that sprung to your mind was thinking, "Oh well, my lease is up." You know, so we'll take that in, and that, you know, the June.
Because there was some urgency of what had to be done.
Yes.
By that time.
Yes, okay, so it's like the last 20 minutes. Yeah.
And that was all I could bring it back to relating to.
Yeah, no, you've got that there, absolutely. And then another level is, of course, as you pointed out, 20 to 6 is also 5:40.
Yeah.
It's the same time, but it's a different way of saying it.
That's right.
It's a different way of looking at it. You know, in fact, when we say 20, we probably say 20 to 6 when we look at an analog clock. You know, when you think about it, you look at a clock with hands, you're going to say, oh, it's 20 to 6. You don't say it's 5:40. Well, I don't anyway. But you look at a digital watch and you go, yep, it's 5:40. So two ways of looking at things, maybe analog and maybe digital. So let's go back to the start of your dream again. I dream a dream. There are many ways to look at life. It's an illusion. I have a vision. There are many ways to look at life. There are many ways to look at life. You can look at the 20 to 6 angle, or you can look at the 5:40 angle. You can look at the analog. You can look at the digital. You can look at time from two different angles.
Yes, yes. And one sort of infers that there's not much time, and the other also says, well, there's more time than you think.
That's right, yeah. Which one feels like there's more time than you think, 5:40 or 20 to 6?
If one-third left sounds... two-thirds of a year gone sounds worse than one-third left.
Okay. So you prefer 20 to 6?
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you had nothing on age 54?
No, not really. Mm. Not that links it in for me.
Okay. And I love the way that, you know, you, being a visionary, haven't brought up, and in your dream state, haven't brought up the usual cliche of, is the glass half full or half empty? You've brought up, is it a third full or two-thirds full or two-thirds empty? I'm going to look at this differently, okay? So I love that. We're going to go with that for a while. So the dream is about, so we've got a contradiction or a problem right at the beginning of the dream, which is, there are many ways to look at life. Life is an illusion. I'm ready to look at things from more than one angle. I'm ready to look from the perspective that time is running out. I'm ready to look at the perspective that, you know, that I have plenty of time and I've done wonderful things in this time. But I'm acknowledging that there are different ways to look at things. And I have a vision and I am ready to get closer to my determination and focus to carry it off. Now, let me just make sure that I manifest this well by you know, getting my head around the best way to see this, to look at this, you know, the 20 to 6 or the 5:40. So you kind of have that in the dream, and then you almost go through another awakening level because you then move to the hotel. Isn't that what happened next in the dream?
No, firstly I meet this man and there's some performance and then I'm performing with him,
oh,
song
yes,
and dance.
That's right.
And we fall in love. And he's come here and discovered me. And he has to return to wherever, but he'll be back. And I say, I didn't know I could do this for you.
And the
connection is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? So everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself. So this is coming together with an aspect of yourself that has a vision in a way that you hadn't really noticed before, that is ready to be more determined and more focused, and is ready as a result of all of that to really harmonize, you know, dance. Put on a show, you know, be out there in public, do something out in the world in a way that you hadn't really realized. This is part of the awakening back in January, and we'll work out how exactly it relates later. But it's really an awakening to, look, I actually can do this. But then there's a kind of like a panic or a fear or an observation that comes in with, but he's going to go back, but he will be back. So it's almost like a, ooh, you know, am I going to be able to do this by myself?
they always turn up and then they have to go away and come back later.
when did the later feel like? You know, how much?
Oh, it didn't feel as if it was going to be very long. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel as if... it was going to be very long. In fact, the ending of the dream almost felt as if he was back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you...
But again, I lost big gaps of it.
Yeah. So what's interesting is that he comes back, and we know that because of the end of the dream, so that's good. So you have this wonderful integration. But on the way to that, there's this feeling of he is going back. I, the female part of myself... have got to carry this through for a while on my own, in a sense, you know. So the female side of yourself is the right brain, is your intuition, your spirituality, everything inside. So that is really the perfect part of yourself to dance and express and move forward. And what's interesting is that when you do move forward from there, even though he comes back into the dream scene, what you move forward to a whole array of feminine symbols. You know, you've got curvature in the rest of the dream. You've got curved lines, not straight lines. At the beginning, he had a checked shirt, which was straight lines. At the end there's the round fountain. There's the kind of more opulent, rounded hotel. There's the water, which is more the emotions. There's the feelings, the high, which is emotions. There's a sense of the golden couple. Everything's kind of like more feminine, more inner world coming to fruition kind of feeling. So it's almost as if you have the vision of bringing the left brain into steer you into determination and focus, but this is in order to let the female side of yourself create what needs to be created, not to be continuously guided or shaped by the left brain, just to have that kind of input at the beginning, like the sensible...
To have the assistance.
Yeah, that's right. But it's all in focus of getting the feminine energy to express itself in a certain way.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. How does that relate so far to what was happening in your life then?
Well, it's an ongoing story. So yes, it makes sense because the masculine part of me often comes, and it's wonderful. This one was standout in because of just the overall vivid nature of it. The fountain was incredibly vivid, and the golden couple and just the feelings within the dream were so vivid that that's why I chose this one. But I often have men who I would call visionaries appear in my dream, and it's all wonderful, and then they have to go away.
And in those other dreams, when they have to go away, have you had another dream that has nevertheless moved on to a happy ending?
Yes. Mm. Well, yes. And I also had them come back. Mm. I mean, I had another one. He went away before this one in October, and I had a dream a couple of nights ago saying he's on his way back.
And has your life been like that? Have you kind of gone through phases, symbolically speaking, not actual men, but symbolically speaking, where you've had periods of sort of bringing in the left brain and doing the kind of out there, maybe marketing, sensible, logical stuff, and then...
Oh, yes. I mean, it absolutely, that there are... I can be incredibly left-brained, and then I can be incredibly. I try to do the two, but often they don't sync quite so well. Meaning that that it's either one or the other, that you really need to have them both together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So there could be, from what you say, there could be a way where you approach life as a kind of shuffle. You know, I'm going to do left brain for a few weeks, and I'm going to do right brain for a few weeks, and I'm going to do left brain. Mm. But really, the ultimate vision is to have the two dance together like you had in your dream there,
right,
the dance
that's
together.
Right.
So, yes. So what you're really saying, and the picture coming up from these kind of recurring dream theme that you're mentioning there, is that you tend to go a bit of left brain, a bit of right brain, a bit of left brain, a bit of right brain. And even though the male comes back, it's like, oh, we're in left brain again, then we're in right brain. It's a recurring theme because what you want to do in your life is somehow get the two happening at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit dyslexic. I think my left brain can be incredibly analytical and clear and give it something to it needs the cryptic crosswords or all the tests that you get seen on the internet. It can do them in a flash, but it can also be highly judgmental isn't the word, but it sort of just cuts through everything. But this goes back to my childhood and having three older brothers and a father in the chauvinistic community that there's a certain way of looking at things. And so I have to keep my left brain in check a little bit.
Mm.
Funny that he's in check in this dream.
Yeah, the check shirt. You're very, very good. That was very fast. Left brain well in place.
I'm always aware when it's on a roll and I do watch it very carefully, so maybe it gets in a huff and goes away.
Yeah, well, it sounds from what you say that you're really onto it there, that the feminine or the female side of yourself too then is it's kind of almost converts itself to the sensible finger wagging male side to send the big male side off on its way. Like I dare, you know, if you're saying it relates to childhood and chauvinistic beliefs surrounding you, it's like, well, I probably in childhood I didn't really ever show the full roundness of my right brain, my femininity, my female side. So I've had to keep that, as you say, in check. and yes. Maybe in many ways, in order to do that, in order to make progress in your life, you've had to kind of send the male away in order for the female to shuffle a few steps forward and then go,
I think
yeah.
So. I really think so. I really did, because it didn't have a chance.
Mm.
And I think that's part of the society we live in to a certain extent.
Mm. Mm. It is. And the thing is then to be that visionary and stand slightly ahead of that society and do it differently anyway. And this is making more and more sense, isn't it, Mary, of peers?
Yes.
Because if the peer goes out into the water, it's like that's really sort of pioneering, which is all not quite a play on word, but I realise as I say it, it's quite close. It's taken the male, you know, a peer as kind of like it's a male thing, isn't it? It's apart from the shape of it, which I just realised, it's a structure, it's a mechanical structure. It's a support thing. It's quite different from the...
It's also, and it may be relevant because I like to go fairly deeply into symbolic meaning and been doing it for a lot of years, and the name peers is range for Peter, which means
rock.
The rock, the support, the stone, the philosopher's stone, the self, if you like.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
The support, the foundation.
Yeah.
Mm. And I mean, I am aware that the feminine aspect is important for the visionary process, but we need the masculine to get it on the ground.
That's exactly right, yeah, in order to be able to walk.
Like the pier.
Yeah, that's right, in order to be able to walk further out into the water, which is a visionary thing
that's
to
right.
do. You know, and yes. Even there have been other metaphors for that, say like, you know, Jesus walking on the water, I guess. It's
that's
a kind
right.
of metaphor for
yes.
that too, you know, pioneering and visionary. But as you say, you need, in the way that you are programmed, your female side can't really walk out in the water if the peer's been sent away for a while.
No, that's right.
And the peer camp is pretty pointless out there standing in the water if you're not there either. You've got to put the peer and the woman together in order to get in.
That's right. And I sort of know that. And, you know, the number of times I wake up to, why have they gone away?
Why do you think this might have particularly been a bit of an awakening for you back in January? I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you also link the dream to the knowledge that that your lease where you are is up in June. So obviously that's playing into it somewhere too. And is it as simple as that? Is it as simple as I've got to get this dance together before June? Or was there something else happening in January that really gave you that extra nudge of awakening of maybe if I can get, you know, the male and the female to dance together here, I can really totally manifest this vision?
Well, I that night, and I had made a note of what I actually did that the day before, and I talked to a couple of my kids, and I'd actually seen Susan Boyle singing and watched the program Bones, and then I had a wonderful meditation, felt totally connected, and I don't know if you've read any of Richard, and he wrote a book on what he calls Two Point, and he does incredible work with it in the States, and I got his book, and I also do that, and I find it quite powerful, and I've been using that just to shift energy, to get things to realign, if you like. Mm. So within that meditation, I had almost a mini kundalini, you know, that just that flow of energy going through your body, which is quite mind-boggling. And I took myself to somewhere where I would like to live and be in terms of house and surrounds. And I ask quite clearly, actually, I've written here, for the key to my financial abundance and freedom. Mm.
Before you went to sleep or in the meditation?
Yes.
Yeah.
As I went to sleep.
Yeah. So that's really beautiful. I mean, you've got the Susan Boyle bit there right at the beginning with the song. In a sense, you know, yes. I guess she represents, you know, the impossible dream actually coming true in many ways. And as you say, you know, your meditation was about getting the male and female to work together. You used different words, but that was what it was about. And the kundalini, the sensation of the kundalini rising was therefore the awakening that was then reflected in the dream. And you know, the answering, the key to the financial abundance then is we got to get these things, the male and the female, working together at the same time. Yeah. And although the dream was back in January, it's, you know, because it's still very alive for you, it's one that you can still do some dream alchemy on. And you know, one of the things that's, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's coming across strongly for me here, is that vision that we smilingly laughed about there, the problem of the peer's no good without the woman and the woman's no good without the peer to get out into the water. Yeah. Is that a vision that you think that if we work on that in dream alchemy could kind of really begin to strengthen that if we could get, say, you in the dream and peers in the dream dancing along a pier of your imagination that extends into a beautiful place out into the ocean, would that for you give that feeling of...
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, I can sort of do it because I often sit and meditate, not often, but a couple of times a week, overlooking a pier that goes out into the ocean.
Oh, fantastic. So you can actually go down there and visualize it in the real, and then dance along the actual pier.
I like it.
you know, truly, I mean, the more that you can actually assist the visualization by bringing in as many other senses as you can, you know, and that can include to an extent the kinesthetic thing of actually dancing along the pier or even just taking a few steps on the shore as if you're dancing along the pier. And often with a lot of visualizations of actually just standing or sitting, you know, putting your body in a posture which is in alignment. That was a word you used earlier for your meditation, which is in alignment with the alchemy that you're doing, you know. And you said in your meditation it was about getting in alignment, and your dream has responded with alignment of the male and the female sides.
Makes sense.
So if you did the visualization in that way, and I know that you've done a lot of of, as you, you know, as you've told us all here, to a lot of work on your dream. So you would be able to fine tune the dream alchemy to suit yourself, but essentially getting yourself and peers to continue that dance. He doesn't go away this time, to start from where you're putting on the show and actually dance out past the fountain, wave to the golden couple, you know, get to the pier, the pier being the new addition to the dream, going along it, dancing, you know, and maybe I Dream a Dream is a great song to do that too. If not, find another dream that you feel works for you, another song that you feel has worked for you, and dance to the end of the pier, and just as you do that, you know, summon up the kind of emotions and the kind of feelings that you want to have as you put that, as you see that vision manifest in the world for you, which you're saying at the moment, you know, what you're saying between the lines is that the financial abundance will be the thing that really helps to bring that vision into grounding and into happening.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it makes sense, and it certainly adds to everything that I've done with it. Adds a new dimension to it, which is most helpful.
That's fantastic.
And clarifying as well.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, it's so... It's always extremely rewarding to work on your own dreams. And the more you understand, you know, how to interpret them and how to apply alchemy, you know, the more wonderful results you get. And yet it can be always quite difficult to get the last bits of your own dream. You often need someone else to be able to look in because it's not their dream.
Yes. Well, it's sometimes just, you know, having the clarity of how it can be interpreted, of the various levels that are there, and then doing the alchemy just empowers it so much more. And though I've done some alchemy with it, I haven't done that, but doing it with a new level of understanding just adds power to it.
Yeah, that's right, because if you've got the understanding, you know what the obstacles have been, and you know what you're wanting to achieve, and every part of you is with the alchemy.
Fascinating.
And it's fascinating, and I think a lot of people listening in would have found that very fascinating too. And there might be a few people going to their various beaches around the world this weekend looking for a suitable pier and borrowing your alchemy, I think.
good. I hope it works for them.
It will, and it will work for you too. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mary, for coming onto the show and sharing your dream and sharing your vision with a lot of other people and helping them to take further wonderful dance steps towards manifesting their own visions.
Thank you. It's been invaluable.
Thank you. So there we go, a lovely piece of alchemy, which I'm sure quite a few of you have visualized as we went along there. Find a pier near you and have a dance on it. It can only do good. So thank you for listening to another edition of The Dream Show. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, I know that we've gone through quite a run recently of people who have been recording and interpreting their dreams for many years. And I do absolutely love and have, you know, thoroughly enjoyed those guests, and I welcome more of the same. But if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I can't come on the show because I don't understand a jot of my dreams, don't think like that. I welcome everybody onto the show. If you're interested in your dreams and want to know what they mean and what kind of alchemy you can do to make really positive, wonderful changes in your life, and you'd love to come on the show, please contact me. It's really simple. We just work out a time zone that suits us both. I phone you at the right time, and what you have just heard me do with Mary is exactly what happens with you, and we record the whole conversation, and you get to help loads of other listeners to benefit from listening into the dream interpretation, just as you've benefited from listening into what was happening for Mary there. So do get in contact if you'd like to be a guest on the show. You're most welcome. And thanks anyway. You might also just want to go to either of my websites at dream.net.au or the blog at janetheresa.com, or even go onto the Facebook fan page where there's plenty happening. And of course, if you prefer a more confidential discussion and help with your dream, especially with, getting some dream alchemy happening for you, then of course there are, you know, I do offer those services as well. So explore the sites for that information, and I wish you a wonderful week, and I'll speak to you next Friday, which for those of you who are listening to these in real time, will be, I think, Good Friday, Easter Friday. Yes, we are doing a show for that day. So thank you. See you next week. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.